Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
And then there were four, only four teams left in the NFL, which means welcome aboard to some of you that wait until your team's out of it to really dive into the draft and the College Draft podcast. We're year-round, so those of you that just show up for the offseason, I get it, the lead-up to the draft, I totally get it. We're starting the East-West Shrine Game this week, totally got it. But we're here all year-round, and there's awesome, awesome information from my buddy Fran Duffy at FDuffy3, the Eagles video and scouting guru. I'm Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. If you want to make sure that you are always doing the right thing and you are always knowing when any of these podcasts are posted, follow our producer Bri at RTF Podcast. He's the first one to post these bad boys. I mentioned the All-Star Circuit is beginning, Fran. Speaking of the All-Star Circuit, before we get into that, last week, most of the time was on the national championship game, as well as talking with Dan Hatman from the Scouting Academy. That really is an incredible idea, and it's awesome, awesome, the success that they've had so far.
Without question. You know, I talked with Dan. I knew him from when he was here in Philadelphia, and when he was thinking about putting this all together and they were on the verge of kind of releasing the Scouting Academy and launching, I talked to him and some of his partners and just thought, you know what, this is just such a great idea. They, you know, the fact that they bring in these teachers, people that have been in draft rooms, former GMs, former coaches, position coaches, coordinators, head coaches, NFL scouts, departments of scouting. I mean, they bring in all of these resources, and then they've done is continue to branch out, and they have the event down at the Senior Bowl every year where they do live scouting and are basically treated as NFL scouts down there in Mobile. That's an outstanding experience. So if you want to get into scouting and you're not sure of what the next step is, you know, I've told Dan this a number of times. It's the only place where you can go, and they place people with NFL teams. And Dan is a person that is extremely loyal. He takes care of his people. So just a great opportunity and something that I told him from the jump. I had a good feeling that this would work out for him. I'm so happy to see him have a lot of success.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Again, it's called the Scouting Academy. You guys that listened last week, you know all about it. Tell them the College Draft Ross and Fran sent you if you end up signing up for it. I think it's great. Is even if you're not sure you want to get into scouting, it's a great way to dip your toes in and figure out, you know, whether or not this is really for you. You got some other job, you're thinking about it. That's kind of what I think is cool about it. Let's get to the Senior Bowl and some of the additions in the last 2 weeks, Fran. There's a lot of names to get to.
Yeah, you know, you start obviously at the quarterback position. Josh Allen was announced officially last week, and you know, there were reports. Chris Mortensen from ESPN had put out the week before that he was going to accept and be the eighth and final quarterback down there at Mobile. I think it's a great opportunity for him to really kind of prove what he can do in front of everybody. You know, he's gotten a bad rap over the last, we'll say, 12 months or so, particularly over the last six, for what he put on the football field as a redshirt junior. But Josh Allen is incredibly talented. You know, you've got the arm talent, the escapability. He's got the size. He comes from a pro-style offense, the same coaching staff that helped mold Carson Wentz early in his career at North Dakota State. They went over to Wyoming, and they started prepping this kid up. So I'm excited to see Josh Allen, not just, you know, potentially if I'm there in person next week, but then also moving forward as we get through the process. Everything I've watched of him, yeah, there are flaws. I'm not calling him a perfect quarterback, but in terms of what you see, want to see from quarterbacks at the next level, I think he shows some of those admirable traits. So excited for his opportunity down there. We'll see how he does at the skill position spot. Really only one receiver added over the last couple of weeks, and that's another underclassman, Traquan Smith from Central Florida. Really interesting player. 6'1", just over 200 pounds, was able to be a deep threat. He averaged over 16 yards a catch, and you could see that speed on the football field. He's got the ability to attack down the field, can go up and climb the ladder and make plays on the football in the air. Showed a really good ability to track the deep ball, and to me, that's a natural trait that not everybody has. He's not perfect right now. He doesn't always play fast, notably when he does not have the football. You can see that he's still kind of thinking things through as a route runner. But I think that this kid's got some ability. At the end of the day, he's probably more of a piece than he is a focal point of a passing game. But I think Tre'Quan Smith is a pretty intriguing player. I'm excited to see how he does down there in Mobile. A few offensive linemen were added. Brian O'Neill from Pitt, another underclassman, athletic kid, really good feet, has played both tackle spots, experienced kid, former high school tight end. So he's got the ability to kind of help himself. We've talked about O'Neill over the course of the fall. Needs to get stronger. Doesn't really have that, you know, that glass eater mentality up front. Not much of a road grader, but a guy that's got certainly the foot quickness to stick at the left tackle spot. Brett Toth from Army is a player that I think fits that same kind of skill set. I mean, he is extremely athletic. Another kid is a former tight end, 6'5". He's very light at 289, but he plays with good pad level. His feet are really quick. He needs to be reworked from the ground up, though, in terms of his footwork. Obviously, playing in that triple option offense at Army, he doesn't really take traditional pass sets, and so that's going to be something that he's going to need to work on. The good thing for him, though, is that he's down at the Shrine Game as we speak, from what I've been told. So he's at the Shrine Game this week. We'll be at the Senior Bowl next week. Good opportunity for Brett Toth to kind of help himself over the next couple of weeks. Joseph Noteboom from TCU is the left tackle there, 6'5", 319. Big kid. I think he's got pretty good feet for his size. A little bit stiff, though, in the lower half, so we'll see about him. I think that overall he's probably a better swing tackle, backup tackle, than he is a starting option. Feel the same way about the two centers that were added as well, Scott Questenberry and Bradley Bozeman from Alabama. Both players, I think, are probably better off as backups to the next level, but nice players in their own right. Going over to the defensive side, Harrison Phillips is a guy who really stood out to me. Another underclassman, a junior defensive tackle from Stanford, 6'4", 295. Kid is really stout at the point of attack, holds up in the run game extremely well. He uses his hands very well, high motor kid. I think he has a plan as a pass rusher. He's just not super explosive. He's not one of those quick first step kids that, you know, can win off the ball. So Harrison Phillips is a guy that I think you can keep an eye on in this game to potentially help himself. Deshaun Hand from Alabama, I would put in that same realm. 6'4", 290, different kind of body type in terms of how he's going to be used at the NFL level. I think he's probably more of an outside, you know, a five technique, maybe even a 4-3 defensive end for some teams. But a fluid athlete for a guy that big, has a quick first step, plays with a high motor, needs to get a little bit better against the run. You know, that was one thing I wish I saw a little bit more from him. I think that's probably why we didn't see him become a true full-time player for Nick Saban over the course of his career, was that he just wasn't where he needed to be as a run defender at this point. Was not overly productive. So a kid who came in as a five-star recruit, we'll see if somebody's able to get the most out of him moving forward. Staying at Alabama, linebacker Rashawn Evans is the number one senior at the position for a lot of people. So a lot of people are going to be excited to see him. 6'2", 230, uses his hands well, has experience on the edge as a pass rusher, but is more of a stand-up, stacked linebacker at the next level. Physical kid, not super athletic for that spot, and he's got to get a little bit better in terms of his eye discipline and his instincts, keying and diagnosing early in the down. But a big kid, again, who's got some sideline-to-sideline speed and has the physicality downhill that you're looking for. Staying at the linebacker spot, one of the best stories in this class is going to be Central Florida linebacker Shaquane Griffin. You know, he was the AAC Defensive Player of the Year 2 years running. Really athletic kid. Can play sideline to sideline. Can move in reverse. Can make plays in coverage. Extremely tough. High motor. Has all the physical traits you want from a movement standpoint. He's only 6'2", 219, so he's very, very light. We'll see how he's used from that standpoint. One of the reasons I say he's one of the best stories is he's done this all with one hand. You know, he's missing his left hand from a birth defect. He ended up having to lose it, I think, when he was 4 years old. He was just a kid and had to lose his hand. His twin brother, Shaquille, was a third-round pick last year for the Seattle Seahawks. And this kid has just been so productive. He's really fun to watch. Obviously, with the physical limitations, there's going to be concerns about what role he can play at the next level. But this kid flies to the round of the football. He's a really high motor kid. He's been a standout special teamer throughout his career as well. So I think a lot of people are excited to see how he looks on a big stage next week in Mobile. Dorian O'Daniel from Clemson was a one-year starter. Another coverage player, undersized linebacker, 6'1", 210. In the secondary, Levi Wallace and Anthony Averett. Two good stories from Alabama. Levi Wallace is really intriguing. The fact that he showed up as a walk-on. He played intramural football his first year on campus at Alabama. Big kid. He's tough. Has made some plays in the short area throughout the course of this season. Struggles a little bit finding the football downfield, as most Alabama corners typically do. Anthony Averett, I would put in that same mold. Probably less of an athlete than Levi Wallace is, but long kid, can play special teams, 5'11", 178 pounds. I'd put those two guys in those middle rounds. And then Kaiser White from West Virginia, the safety, hard hitter, 6'2", 213, spent a lot of time near the line of scrimmage, really good run defender. He's tough, big, physical. If you're looking for a box safety, potentially even a dime linebacker, I think some teams may even look at him as a linebacker convert. I think Kaiser White, who is the younger brother of former top five pick Kevin White out of West Virginia, Kaiser White's got some ability. It's just a matter of what role you see him in. And then three more guys that I have not watched yet. I'm going to try and see if I can watch them before next week. Wide receiver Javon Wims from Georgia, Clemson offensive lineman Taylor Hearn, who played some tackle and some guard this year, and South Carolina cornerback Jamarcus King. Trying to get to those guys as soon as I can.
Nice. Well, come on, Fran. It's not like the Eagles are still in the playoffs. It's not like, you know, you've got other duties. You should be watching all these guys. No.
Exactly right.
And is that the deal with the Senior Bowl? Is basically, if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, you're not going. If they aren't in the Super Bowl, you are going?
If we lose, which, knock on wood, I'm obviously hoping we don't. If we lose, then I will be on a plane on Monday morning down to Mobile.
Got it. All right. Well, right now what's going on is the Shrine Game practices. They began yesterday. Yesterday was also the final deadline for underclassmen declaring. Let's start first with the Shrine Game. And for people that don't remember, the Senior Bowl is the biggest all-star game. Those are the guys, those are the top prospects of the seniors that, you know, not obviously not the elite underclassmen, but the top prospects of the seniors that are available. And the Shrine Game's kind of the next tier down, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think you get to the Shrine Game, and then to even a lesser extent, the NFLPA game. There's actually like seven or eight of these college all-star games, but we'll probably go in that realm. But remember, I mean, there's been a lot of really talented players that have gone to the Shrine Game over the last couple. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo was down there a few years ago. Every year, there's always some talented players coming out of that game. And this year, I think there's a shot to see some talent. I didn't do as full a study as I would normally do because I had a feeling that I probably wouldn't be there at this point in the year. But, you know, there's some names that have stood out to me over the course of the season and going back to last summer that are down there right now. Kentavious Street from NC State. He's 6'2", 279, played DN the last couple of years for the Wolfpack, but I think he might transition better to an interior role as an inside rusher on sub package. That'll be really interesting to watch for him moving forward. Has a really good idea of what he's doing with his hands as a pass rusher. I've always been a big fan of Kentavious Street. Miami defensive end Chad Thomas, big kid, 6'5", 278, not going to impress you with his overall athletic upside. He's not one of those quick first step pass rushers, but he uses his hands well. He's a big, strong kid that can collapse the pocket off the edge and potentially slide inside and passing downs as well. I think Chad Thomas is intriguing from that standpoint. James Looney, I would put in the same boat. He's 6 foot. He's 267. The body type is a little weird. You know, where exactly do you see him at the next level? But he's lined up everywhere for the Golden Bears. He's from 0-1 technique out to 7 technique. So he's got the ability to play a number of different roles. He's got a quick first step. He anticipates the snap really well. He's just got to get stronger. If he's going to play on the inside, he's going to need to get stronger at the point of attack in the run game. Offensively, two skill guys that have stood out to me. Chase Edmonds from Fordham, and early reports are that he was the guy who stood out most from the first day of practice. 5'9", 209 pounds. He's quick. He's a really competitive runner. His numbers weren't great this year, but had been extremely productive coming into his senior season. He's not going to be a power back. People are going to question whether or not he could be a full-time, a primary starter. But it reminds me in some ways of a James White coming out of Wisconsin. He gives good effort as a blocker, does a lot of little things well. I'm a fan of Chase Edmonds. I'm excited to see him moving forward. And then at wide receiver, South Dakota State's Jake Winicky. You know, we've talked about Dallas Goedert, the tight end. Winicky, I think, is not necessarily going to be viewed as a starter in the NFL. Doesn't have that deep speed, and he's going to be one of the slower testers, I would imagine, at the position in the combine. Not a high-level athlete, but a big kid, soft hands, has a decent idea of what he's doing as a route runner. I think that kid's pretty intriguing as well.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds is actually from here in Harrisburg, where I live. He was incredible in high school. I don't know why he was under-recruited. I think it was because of his size. And from first game as a true freshman at Fordham, he was one of, if not the best running back in all of FCS football. I mean, his freshman year numbers are absolutely ridiculous. We mentioned also, and I think this is the biggest topic we need to hit today, Fran, is the underclassmen declaring. The official list hasn't been released yet. You know, we'll get that at some point this week. But based on the reports and a lot of it social media, the kids themselves, a lot of people have declared, even since we last talked about it, because we didn't talk about it last week with Dan Hatman from the Scouting Academy and with the national championship game. So over the last 2 weeks, as you might imagine, a lot of people have put their name in the hat. I think it's well over 100. Although I'm most intrigued, frankly, by some of the guys that haven't, you know, that have announced that they're staying in school. But at any rate, let's get to some of the different positions. And, you know, maybe I can pick a name or two that jump out to me there. How about quarterback?
Yeah, you know, the ones since we've last talked about it, you know, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, and Lamar Jackson, those are the big ones. You know, and everybody kind of assumed that at least two of the three would be in this draft. It turns out all three will be in it. Darnold, you know, the issues with him are, you know, some forced balls in terms of passes into coverage. He's put the ball on the ground a lot as a fumbler, both inside the pocket and outside. So that's been an issue for him. A little bit more erratic with his accuracy than he was a year ago. And that's something that stood out from week one at Western Michigan on. So we'll see if that's something that, you know, that people kind of worry about or if they still kind of value him in the top five of this draft. But that was one issue you saw with Darnold. Josh Rosen on the field is as clean as it gets. I mean, some forced throws, and that's really kind of the one big wart from his game tape is that he'll force some throws into coverage, made some bad decisions with the football as a passer. But, you know, from a mechanic standpoint, he is as clean as it gets. He's Drew Brees-like with his lower body. And you know, in terms of you know, his feet and where he needs to be from a technical standpoint, I think he's in really good shape there, has experience under center and in the gun. So I think there's Josh Rosen from a physical standpoint. There's everything you could ask for. And then Lamar Jackson, we've talked about it. I mean, he's got the arm talent. He's a dynamic athlete, as good an athlete as you're going to ask for at the quarterback position. It's a matter of, you know, working under center, which he did a little bit of at Louisville, but not to a full-time extent. And then also just being able to stay in the pocket, go through progressions. He's flashed the ability to do that over the course of his career. You just don't see it consistently. And that's something that will be questioned moving forward. The name of the two guys, Kyle Allen from Houston, was a former big-time recruit. I want to say he was a top two or three quarterback recruit in the country coming out. Ended up going to Texas A&M, transferred to Houston, played this past year at Houston, and now he declared for the draft. I haven't studied anything of Allen yet, so I can't really speak to that. But I will say that the Marshall quarterback, Chase Litton, who he announced that he was going to declare for the draft, I've heard a little bit of buzz on coming into the year and then throughout the fall. So we'll see what happens with Chase Litton and overall. I haven't gotten a chance to study him yet either, but I have heard some buzz on the kid from Marshall.
So as for Rosen, you mentioned Drew Brees. Like, what's interesting is both those guys were elite tennis players when they were younger.
That's a good
and
point.
I think I told just before, but Joe Lombardi, the quarterback coach for the Saints, told me that he really thinks tennis is a big reason why Brees moves so well in the pocket and is always such in balance because he's used to his feet being that distance apart and those subtle movements in tennis, which is interesting that you compare the two. Kyle Allen was in the Army Bowl. I think that might have been the first year I did it, 4 years ago. He was clearly the best quarterback in that game and was the most highly touted quarterback coming into the game. Things just have not worked out as well for him as he would have liked at the college level. I'll be curious to see if he's even a draftable guy or just figured it wasn't a good fit in Houston anymore. How about running back? There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there have been a lot of running backs that have declared since we last spoke about it. Darius Geis from LSU, obviously a huge name. A lot of people are really excited about coming into the year. Battled a little bit of injuries throughout the course of his junior season, but still a very talented runner, natural athlete who could pick his way through traffic, a competitive runner too. I really like the way Geis runs. Ronald Jones, who, you know, was kind of a part-time player a year ago as a sophomore, really burst onto the scene this year. It seemed like every game he was going for, you know, a buck 10 and a touchdown. tall runner. He runs a little bit high, but has breakaway speed in the open field. For a guy who's 6 foot, he could pull away in space. And Ronald Jones, that's probably one of the more impressive traits in his game. Bo Scarborough from Alabama. Really, you know, a lot of people talked a lot about him, and we've talked about the comparison between him and Damian Harris from Alabama. I've been a big Damian Harris fan throughout the process. He's going back to school. Scarborough's coming out. Scarborough, I think, will remind some people. You know, a lot of people will make the comparison to Derrick Henry. I think he's got some similarities to Matt Jones coming out of Florida. He ended up as a third-round pick, I'll say, for the Washington Redskins and is now off that team. I'm not sure exactly where Matt Jones is at this point. But, you know, physical back, has the ability to hit it downhill, will flash some breakaway speed when he gets into space, lacks the wiggle that you'd like to see in terms of making defenders miss, but he can run through contact. Bo Scarborough is a big physical ball carrier. Kerryon Johnson and Cameron Petway, both Auburn backs, both came out. I'm excited to dig deep into both of them because both have flashed when I've watched them on TV. Petway missed a large majority of this season due to, I want to say it was a fractured shoulder blade, which that just sounds terrible. But if Petway will be in this draft, Kerryon Johnson will be in this draft as well. Excited to dig deeper into both of them. And then Notre Dame running back Josh Adams, another local kid from my neck of the woods. I want to say he's from Warrington, PA. He's got some breakaway speed, man. And he's going to get a lot of comparisons to some players that, you know, have that size, but also that speed, the ability to impact the passing game, like a David Johnson, like a CJ Procise, who was at Notre Dame before Adams. He's a really intriguing player. Excited to dig deep more into his tape. Two other backs I have not watched who are a little bit on the smaller side in terms of their overall status. You know, a lot of people don't really know much about Nyheim Himes from the NC State. And I watched a little bit of him over the weekend. I'm trying to decide if he is like a Chris Thompson type or if he's a slot receiver. He played a little bit of both over the course of his career with the Wolfpack, also a kick returner and a punt returner. So he's got that breakaway speed and that versatility. We'll see where Hines ultimately ends up. And then Ryan Nall from Oregon State. I haven't watched a lick of. I've heard about his versatility. Want to continue to watch him as well.
Let's get right to the wide receivers. I don't have much to say there on the running backs. Wide receivers, because there's a bunch of them as well.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley from Alabama is the best of the group. He is a stud. I'm a big, big fan of Calvin Ridley. Really does a nice job as a route runner to create separation. He's got vertical ability. Did have a couple drops this year, but was tested, to say the least, in terms of playing with Jalen Hurts, where putting ball placement accuracy not really Hurts' forte. And Ridley was kind of put in a tough spot there and didn't have the production that a lot of people would have wanted. But Ridley is a dynamic receiver. You could say the same about Christian Kirk from Texas A&M. Played in the slot for the majority of his career. You saw him in his first college game, I remember, and he stood out back then. Kirk is a guy I really like. I compare him to a guy like Brandon Cooks because of his abilities after the catch. He can impact the screen game. He's a better route runner, I think, than most receivers are coming from A&M. And he's got the ability to impact the football down the field. So I'm a big fan of Christian Kirk. Equanimee St. Brown from Notre Dame is a big physical kid that can go up and fight for the football. Auden Tate, I would put in the same realm. Just did nothing but catch touchdowns for the Seminoles this year. Deontay Burnett, a little bit undersized. Want to continue to watch more of him, but he was the go-to threat for Sam Darnold this year. And then the two Clemson receivers. Ray McLeod was a slot player for them this year. Deion Kane, more of a vertical threat, played on the right side mostly in place of Mike Williams this year. He's got some size and some vertical ability. I thought he was a really unfinished product coming into the year. Excited to go back more into his junior season and study more. Some other big names. Jalen Smith from Louisville, the number one target for Lamar Jackson. Corey Robertson from Southern Miss. Washington State's Tavaris Martin. SMU wide receiver Trey Quinn, who has gotten a little bit of buzz as well. So those would be the big names at the wide receiver position I would watch. The Ridley, though, is the best for sure, followed by Christian Kirk in my mind.
Tight end, some of these names we've talked about, Oklahoma tight end Mark Andrews, Stanford tight end Dalton Schultz, and you got FSU tight end Ryan Izzo, UCF tight end Jordan Akins, UCLA tight end Jordan Roberts. Those last three, I don't feel like we've talked about all that much, Fran. Anything jump out to you about any of those guys?
Yeah, and watching a little bit of Rosen and the guys up front on the offensive line for UCLA, Roberts played mostly in the slot. I wasn't focusing in on him, but they had another tight end there who was did more in-line work. So Roberts was more of an oversized receiver for the Bruins this year. So excited to dig more into his tape. And I will say Dalton Schultz is a player that stood out to me as a true freshman. I remember when the kid who's now with the Falcons, who now for some reason—
Austin Hooper?
Yeah, when Austin Hooper was coming out, a lot of people were really high on Austin Hooper. I liked Dalton Schultz more when he was a true freshman. So I'm excited to dig into him. I haven't studied him since his true freshman year, and even then I was more watching Hooper. But Schultz was a player that has stood out to me since his true freshman season. So I am a fan of his game as well.
O-line, Oklahoma tackle Orlando Brown, Nebraska's Nick Gates, LSU tackle Toby Weathersby, and center Will Clapp. LSU has like 20 guys that go early every year. It's hilarious. Louisville tackle Jerron Christian, NC State tackle Will Richardson, Iowa center James Daniels is a pretty nice player. Anybody else on that list jump out to you, Fran?
Well, Brown for sure. I think Orlando Brown is a top two, maybe a top three tackle in this class. Outstanding size and good movement for his size. To me, reminds me a lot of a guy like Bryant McKinney. And McKinney was a longtime starter at tackle. You know, did he have outstanding feet? No, but just one with his size and his length and his awareness. I mean, Orlando Brown has really impressed me, a three-year starter for the Sooners. And I agree. I've heard a lot of good things about James Daniels. I haven't done a full study yet, but I have heard a lot of good things about the center from Iowa.
D-line, Alabama's Deron Payne. We know how you feel about him. Tennessee D-tackle, Khalil McKenzie. Georgia D-tackle, Trenton Thompson. Miami D-tackles, R.J. McIntosh and Kendrick Norton. Virginia Tech D-tackle, Tim Settle. USC D-tackle, Rasheem Green. You've got Arizona State's JoJo Wicker. Oklahoma's Devontae Lampkin. FSU's Jalen Wilkerson. And Purdue's Eddie Wilson. Give me something on one of those guys that you really like.
The Tim Settle kid from Virginia Tech, I've heard some good things about. And the Miami pair, R.J. McIntosh and Kendrick Norton, I've also heard a lot of really good things about. And watching that Miami front, I know that those guys have been very disruptive against the run. So excited to dig deeper into both of them. Trenton Thompson from Georgia as well, very disruptive.
Edge player, Arden Key, not much of a surprise there. Auburn's Jeff Holland. Kansas's Dorrance Armstrong. Any thoughts on Holland or Armstrong?
Excited to dig deeper into Jeff Holland because he's a guy who was, I think he was first team all SEC this year. Obviously, that Auburn defense was very, very disruptive. But I'll tell you what, I watched the Kansas kid over the offseason. You know, I haven't watched him yet this year, but 6'4", 246 pounds. He was a second team all conference player this year. He was first team all Big 12 last year. Athletic kid. He's got some closing speed from the backside. Wanted to see him get stronger, and I wanted to see him kind of develop that pass rush plan out because that was a little bit of an issue for me watching him a year ago. But an athletic kid, he's got some tools to him, so he'll be interesting for me to go back and study as well. I thought he had a chance when I watched him as a sophomore.
Linebackers, Roquan Smith from Georgia, Ohio State's Jerome Baker. We've talked about those guys a lot. Yeah. Joel, something really crazy last name from Western Kentucky. Arizona State linebacker Christian Sam. The one guy I don't remember us talking about that much that I've seen getting a lot of buzz on Twitter and stuff is Virginia Tech linebacker Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
Fran.
Yeah, I'm literally getting ready to start studying him because I've studied his brother. It's one of those things, Ross, where when a team has like 18 guys on one side of the ball, I try to hone in on one or two because you can't watch the whole team at once. And Tremaine Edmonds was a guy who just kind of fell through the cracks for me, but have heard nothing but good things in terms of his size, his athleticism. He always flashed when I would watch them on TV, but again, have yet to do that full study on him. I don't want to go strictly off of the flashes watching him live. But a lot of people are high on Tremaine Edmonds as a first-round player, so I'm excited to dig deep into him. But Roquan Smith, he's a very good football player, and Jerome Baker is an athletic kid who I'm high on as well. So three really good underclassmen linebackers joining the class.
Cornerback, Minkah Fitzpatrick, no surprise there. Yep. There's a bunch of other names. Iowa cornerback Josh Jackson, FSU corner Tavarus McFadden, Auburn corner Carlton Davis, LSU has a couple of them, Kevin Tolliver, Dante Jackson, Stanford, another guy leaving Stanford early, Quentin Meeks, Tennessee corner, Rashawn Golden, UCF, another UCF guy, Mike Hughes, and Louisiana Monroe's J.J. Dallas. We know about Minkah. Give me something on somebody else.
Yeah, Josh Jackson was outstanding this year as the Jim Thorpe Award winner. Tavarus McFadden, I mean, he should be a top 15 pick with his skill set, but unfortunately just has not been able to put it all together. Someone could get a really good steal with him. We'll see how low he ends up falling. I'm excited to dig deeper into Carlton Davis. He's been a starter since his true freshman year. Same with the LSU corners, Kevin Tolliver and Dante Jackson, guys that have flashed since their true freshman seasons on campus, and now as soon as they're draft eligible, they make the leap. So excited to dig deep into this group. Could be a very talented secondary at the top.
What about the safeties? Alabama's Ronnie Harrison, you mentioned Virginia Tech's Terrell Edmonds, and then Wake Forest, Jesse Bates, Clemson, Van Smith, and another Stanford kid in Justin Reed.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie Harrison has gotten a lot of love, and rightfully so. It was a big part of that defense there for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Terrell Edmonds, you know, I did watch him over the summer. I didn't watch his twin brother, but Terrell, 6'2", 210, a former corner, began his career there for the Hokies, but a big, strong kid. He has the ability to finish at the catch point. I'd like to see him be a little bit rangier. I was expecting a little bit better of an athlete as a former corner, but the guy is pretty instinctive, and he's got the ability to finish the catch point. He's a big, strong kid as well, so he's got some tools you can work with at the safety spot.
That'll do it for this week, Fran. We're going to get into the guys that stayed. I want to have a longer discussion about that next week, along with the Senior Bowl, because I'm surprised. But you already mentioned Damian Harris, the Clemson entire D-line. What a recruiting job by Dabo Swinney just to keep those guys. Ohio State's Draymond Jones. So we'll dive into that a little bit more next week, because I want to have a longer discussion about that. I'm surprised that some of those guys stayed, for sure. Make sure you're catching Fran on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. The best thing to do is just to follow Fran on Twitter, at FDuffy3, so you don't miss any of his stuff. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. If you're a Facebook person, hit me up, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We love, love, love any of the retweets or likes on Facebook. Really very helpful. Remember, take advantage of any of the sponsors, even the Scouting Academy, if you'd like, and forward those sponsor confirmation emails you get to me, ross@rostucker.com, if you'd like to ask Fran a specific question. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Can't get enough golf? Podcast One is the new home of Golflandia with Matthew Wiley. Every Monday, all season long, tune in to hear Matt talk predictions, tournament recaps, and interview guests from in and around the world of PGA and Euro golf. He'll even talk business, branding, and family life,
because it all relates to golf.
Download episodes of Golflandia every Monday exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the new Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.